All right. What we're going to be discussing today, something that's very important. Obviously, you see a lot of books written on this. And the question would be, why do bad things happen to good people? And I'm going to expand on that. Why do bad things happen to good people when there is a God? And so people are always asking this question. They're going to ask, what went wrong? Who's responsible? Who is to blame? And what can we do about it? So identifying a problem doesn't do anything until we get a solution, which there is a solution to. So let's just go to Genesis 1:21 and start off, or 1:26, sorry. Excuse me. And I'll have Elijah read 26 and 27. Genesis 1, 26 to
27. 26 to 27? Mm-hmm. And let us make... Wait. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the bird of the heavens, and over the tame beast, and over all the land, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the land. And God created the man in his own image, in the image of Yahweh created he him. Male and female created he them.
That's to be God in the Old Testament. Very important. Great start. Actually, if you look at mankind, we're like small gods in the image and likeness of Elohim. Okay, if you went from there to Revelations 21. Verse 22. Kim, you want to read 22 to 27.
What's the chapter?
Of chapter 21.
Chapter 21.
Okay, 21, 22 to...
27.
Okay, starting in...
22.
And we're 22. And sanctuary saw I none therein, for the Lord Elohim the Almighty is the sanctuary thereof, and the Lamb and the city have no need of the sun nor of the moon that they should shine forth. For the glory of Yahweh illuminated, and the lamp thereof was the Lamb, and the nations shall walk through her light, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory into it, and the gates thereof shall in no wise be shut by day, night, in fact, shall not be there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And in no wise shall there enter into it anything common, or he that doeth abomination and falsehood, but only they who are written in the Lamb's book of life.
In the beginning of the story, so we're made as the image of Elohim, and we live in a wonderful place. But something happened in between the beginning and the new beginning. And that's what we're discussing. Adam and Eve's disobedience was catastrophic. So we're just not going to say it was a mistake. It is catastrophic. And we feel it today, and we're going to feel it all. What happened was we got the second earth. We're on the second earth right now. And what we end up seeing, what's going to be the end of this earth? It's going to be destroyed by fire. I mean, that's pretty catastrophic. And we're going to see that in 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 5. For they willingly forgot that there were heavens from of old, and an earth on account of water and by means of water, compacted by Yahweh's word, which means the world that then was, with water being flooded, perished, as the first heaven and earth. While the heavens and the earth that now are, by the same word, have been stored with fire, being kept unto the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly men. Verse 10. Howbeit, the day of Yahweh will be there as a thief, in which the heavens with a rushing noise will pass away, while elements becoming intensely hot will be dissolved, and earth and the works thereof will be discovered. So we see a big transition in how this earth is going to be, but we see one point is ungodly men. Jude, let's turn over to Jude. Verse 14 through 16. So we're trying to identify why do bad things happen and who's responsible. And page 251. Oh, don't you passed it. Go back. But that's all right. But the seventh, let me see, yeah, 14 through 16. But the seventh from Adam, Enoch, prophesied even of these, saying, lo, Yahweh hath come with his holy myriads to execute judgment against all, and to convict all the ungodly of all their works of ungodliness which they committed in ungodliness, and of all the hard things which they have spoken against him, sinners ungodly. There are murmurers, complainers, according to their coveting, going on in their mouth, speaking great swelling words, holding persons in admiration for profit's sake. That's where we are right now. We're getting to see it in the second heaven and earth. We have really two classes of men. We have godly men and ungodly men. We have the Christ line, which is Seth, and we have the Cain line, which is Cain was a murderer from the beginning. Death, and as many people will say, death is by Satan, or death is by God, in which we'll find out. But really, where did death come from? And it's from Adam. So we're going to see Romans 5, verse 12. So who is responsible for death is Adam and Eve.
Which happened?
Chapter 5, verse 12 through 14. So if somebody would read about Izzy 12 through 14.
Chapter 5?
Yes.
For this cause, just as though one man, sin, into the world entered, and through sin, death, and so unto men death passed through, for that all had sinned, for until law, sin was in the world. Although sin is not reckoned when there is no law, yet still death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over them who had not sinned after the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the coming one.
Let's just go to 1 Corinthians 15 now. So we get to put the blame. Who is responsible for some of the stuff that happens today? And when we find out it's not Yahweh. Yahweh's will would have been paradise the whole way through. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 21 and 22. For since indeed through a man came death, through a man also cometh the raising or the awakening of the dead. For just as in the Adam all died, so also in the Christ shall all be made alive. So Adam and Eve are responsible, so they're to blame for the death situation that we have, and actually the fall of creation. We have to also realize that what people have taught is the sovereign, that Yahweh is sovereign, and he is not. And that should be blasphemy to many people. If Yahweh is sovereign, which means that he is can do anything, then he can stop anything. And then that's the confusion, because when he doesn't stop things, evil things, then we have a real problem. Mm-hmm. Because what ends up happening is Yahweh is disobeying his commandments. Because one of his commandments is love thy neighbor as thyself. And so if you saw something about ready to happen that was evil, you would stop it from happening. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you wouldn't want your neighbor or anybody else to go through evil. And so this does not pertain to Yahweh. And for some reason, people feel it has to do with, which actually then you slandered Yahweh. Very simply is, and we know within a court of law, if you are aware of a crime that's about to happen and say nothing about it, what does that make you?
Accessory.
Accessory to the... And that's a criminal offense. So Yahweh knows every crime. He does know every crime and every evil that's going to occur. If he did nothing about it, then he is an accessory to every evil act. Mm-hmm. And that completely breaks down who Yahweh is, which we're going to see. Yahweh's attributes, we have to say, where's our foundation, is really three. Can anybody name them?
Loving-kindness, justice, righteousness.
And loving-kindness, justice, and righteousness. He delights in loving-kindness, justice, and righteousness. So what happens, he gave the control to men and to messengers and maybe other beings. We're going to see that, and that's called freedom of choice. Some people might call it freedom of will. If Yahweh's in control, then there is no freedom of will.
Right.
And but we, as we saw with messengers too, they have sinned too, some of them. So we go to 2 Peter 2. Chapter 2, verse 4. And actually, we believe this is why the first heaven and earth fell. It was because of messengers, other creations, you know, that didn't work out. And so Yahweh, when we see Genesis, and here's a good illustration too. People will say that the earth is 6,000 years old. This is besides a teaching. But this is good evidence. Keep your head here. This is a good way you can show people. Go to Genesis 1:1. Just had a discussion with somebody the other day on this. Genesis 1:1. And here's how Genesis 1:1 should be read. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So it was evening and it was morning one day. That's how it should end it.
Started.
Pardon?
Started.
Yeah. So Genesis 1:1 should say, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So it was evening and it was morning one day. Well, so it was evening, so it was morning. It was not on verse 1. It's on verse what? 3. So 2. Now hath the earth become waste and wild, and darkness was on the face of the roaring deep. Is darkness associated with Yahweh or away from Yahweh?
Away.
So everybody can speak up. So darkness is a sign of judgment. As we know, with the Egyptians, what did they do? There was 3 days of such darkness that they could feel it.
Yeah.
It's a sign of, that was a day of judgment. Water is a sign of judgment. Water is very interesting. Water is the same as fire. Do you know that? So this is interesting. Fire is a judgment, and water is a judgment. The water is H2O, two parts hydrogen, which is flammable, and one part oxygen, which spurs the flame.
Which one?
It fuels the flame. It fuels hydrogen. So hydrogen needs oxygen to burn. So water is two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. So I've seen a scientist separate, he puts water in here, and it goes through this process and separates the molecules and then lights it. So, you know, water and, you know, water and fire are judgment. By the way, as we know. And so that was a judgment time. And then the earth, the counting begins in verse 5, the end of it. It begins in verse 3. And then Elohim said, let there be light. Yahweh is light.
Right.
And the new heaven, in the final heaven and earth, there is no sun or anything else because everything's light. So if Yahweh was present, it's all light. And I believe in the first heaven and earth, there was no planets because Yahweh was the light thereof. Right? Just like it is in the last heaven and earth. There's no planets. There's no need for it. So the planets are 6,000 years old. So all the stars are 6,000 years old. You know, the animals are 6,000 years old. So the counting starts on day three. Okay, but I digress. Let's go to 2 Peter 2, verse 4.
Yahweh is light, and in him is no darkness.
Yeah, that's right. And so it's very simple. Should give us a heads up right away. Darkness, that's not Yahweh. Flooding, that's not Yahweh. And what's good about the dinosaurs and stuff is what happens to water when there's no light?
Freezes.
All the way through. I mean, it's frozen. So would that extinguish all life forms?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it extinguishes all life forms.
Frozen ice form.
Perfect. And what happened, they call the Ice Age. Yeah, well, it was quite an Ice Age. there was no sun, because the sun didn't even exist at that time. Yahweh withdrew. And boom. You know, you can imagine just, if people said that if the sun went out today, you can imagine what happens, the catastrophic event that happens to the earth immediately. Yeah. With no warning. But, okay, verse 4, if somebody wants to read, we're looking at angels and men, verse 4 through 15, if somebody would read that.
Through which his precious and very great
prophet. No, chapter 2.
Sorry.
2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4.
Somebody else, go ahead.
For God spared not messengers when they sinned, but to pits of gloom consigned them, and the lowest Hades delivered them up to be kept unto judgment. The ancient world spared not, but with seven others preserved Noah, a proclaimer of righteousness. A flood upon the world of ungodly persons letting loose. Excuse me. And the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah reduced to ashes he condemned. Example of such should be ungodly having set forth. And righteousness, Lot, when getting worn out by the behavior of them who were impious and wantonness, he rescued. For in seeing and hearing, since he dwelt right among them as a righteous man, he used to torment his soul day by day with their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knoweth how to rescue the godly out of trial. But to keep the unrighteous unto a day of judgment he punished. Most of all, however, them who got their way after the flesh with coveting to defilement and who despised lordship, daring willful. Before dignitaries they trembled not, defaming or messengers, though greater in might and power, and not bringing against them before the Lord a defamatory accusation. Excuse me. These, however, as unreasoning creatures, they have been bred as being by nature for capture and destruction. In the things they are ignorant of, uttering defamation. In their spoiling shall also be made a spoil, doing wrong themselves for a reward of wrong, accounting a delight for their time, delicacy, spots and blemishes, indulging in delicacies with their
stratagems
as they carouse together with you, having eyes full of an adulteress that cannot rest from sin, etching unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed, children of a curse.
Wrong 15.
Forsaking a straight path, they have gone astray, falling out the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved a reward of wrong.
So you're really getting to see identify what the problem is. Now, why do we have a problem with, and this is really talk about, why are some kids, born with diseases? There's nothing that they did, and it looks terrible. And that many people say, well, if there was a God, why does he allow this to happen? Well, he allows this. These are the consequences of his stewards. Who he gave the earth to. And he gave the earth to Adam and Eve, and Cain right off the bat murdered. And so you start a downward trend of corruption, and then you have messengers who are around, and demons. And that's one other thing, too. It never says a messenger is a demon. And so never associate the messenger to demons. And a demon is daimon, which means a lesser god than Theos. So, we always see demons are in people, all right, and they're like they're earthbound, from what I see, because when they get cast out of the pigs, they went into the pigs and things like that. Messengers are heavenly. So that's why I'm going bit. But then you can also, we won't go there, to Jude 5 through 11, and it shows you the degradation of messengers of free will creatures and what they did. And just to show you the free will, in verse 4 again, for if God or Yahweh spared not messengers when they sinned, well, how can they sin unless you have freedom of will? Mm-hmm. You have to have freedom of will in order to sin. Mm-hmm. So, now we go to, we know about Yahweh's attributes, and so we have to say, well, this doesn't fit Yahweh, because he's loving kindness, justice, and righteousness. Jeremiah 9:24. Yahweh has to love his neighbor as himself.
That's what he is.
That's what he says, and we see all through the law, if your neighbor's animal comes out, you're supposed to take it back, on and on and on. If he sees something about ready to happen, it's his duty to make it right, because that's his law, if he can. And we're going to find out many times he can't, because that's the agreement he made, and that's the authority he gave mankind. And he obviously, we know he loved us, and in action, because he gave his only begotten Son. And it says in Romans 8:31-32, his Son was tortured and died for us. And it says, if I gave you my Son, what will I not give you? So we have to see this great love of horrendous torture. So you have to say, why do bad things happen? Well, it happened to his Son.
Yeah.
Because of the concept, the catastrophic event that Adam and Eve let loose. You know, and really call it a Pandora's box. They opened up that box, they should never open it up. And we were born into that box. But there's a good side to this. We know it's not Yahweh, because obviously Yahushua is the image of Yahweh. Let me show you a little side note. This is really great. Go to Exodus 14:13.
Say Exodus 14?
14:13. And kind of a neat thing to remember for the name Yahushua. This is Moses, you know, the Pharaoh and his cohorts are behind him, the sea is in front of them, and Moses said unto the people, do not fear, stand still and see Yahshua of Yahweh. So salvation is the word Yahshua, not Yahushua, but Yahshua, which is salvation. Yahshua, Yah is Yahshua, Yahweh of salvation. So Yahushua means Yah is salvation. Well, here's salvation of Yah. Right? And do not fear, stand still, and see. It would really be Yahushua, Yah is salvation, which he will work for you today. And that's the same thing with his Son. So when we see Yahushua or Yahweh is salvation, let us do not fear but stand still, because we will see Yahweh's salvation coming to pass, which we saw in the Gospels. Yeah. Where, and what he did to the Egyptians and everything else. But I digress. But let's go to, and that's Matthew 1:21. And our Savior's name is not Yahweh. Our Savior's name is Yah is salvation, or Yahweh is salvation. And so he was our Yahweh's instrument to bring us what? Salvation, which is wholeness. He saved us. But let's look at, let's see how time is going. And let's look at Hebrews 1, verse 3. I actually do pay attention to my watch. People say when you see a pastor take off his watch and put it on the podium, they say, you know what that means?
Work out?
Absolutely nothing. They talk as long as they want. That's pretty good. It means absolutely nothing.
Captured eyes, for sure.
Mine does. Here's another good thing, too. We've got to correct. The Holy Spirit is our mouthpiece. The Holy Spirit gave us the scriptures. Time out. Whereas in many parts and in many ways of old, who spoke?
God.
Yeah.
Right there. I'm asking a question. Oh, Hebrews 1.
Sorry.
Hebrews 1:1. Okay.
1:10. I was on 10:1. I heard 1:1.
I'm looking at him. He's like,
what digital?
Am I supposed to be falling in place?
Well, I'm looking around going, is everybody else going?
Okay. Hebrews 1:1. Whereas in many part and in many ways of old, who spake unto the fathers and the prophets? Yahweh is the speaker. He's always the speaker. Here it says in Hebrews. And at the end of these days, who spoke? Yahweh has spoken to us. How? In His Son. You know, the Holy Spirit is an invisible force. It's an instrument. All right? Yahweh is always the speaker. Yahweh spoke to Adam. Yahweh spoke to Eve. Yahweh spoke to Abraham. Who was in the bush? Yahweh. He spoke to Moses. So it doesn't say Holy Spirit spoke from the bush. Holy Spirit did this. Holy Spirit did this. Holy Spirit. Keep things in perspective. But let's go on. In verse 2, and at the end of these days He has spoken to us in His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, through whom also He hath made the ages. Now this is great. Here is Yahushua, who being irradiated brightness of His glory and exact representation of His very being. Wow. I mean, you want to know who Yahweh is and always has been, you should look into His Son. Alright? So when people are sick, what did Yahushua do for them?
He
healed them. He healed all that came unto Him. But the ones who did not come and the ones who did not believe, did He heal them? No. It is Yahweh's will to heal, because Yahushua, if Yahushua was here today, guess what everybody would be who wanted to heal him?
Yeah.
Right there. You think He would withhold it? He's not withholding it today either. That is Yahweh's manifestation, is Yahushua. Because He exactly did the Father's will. The man born blind, he was always at the temple, right? Mm-hmm. Did Yahushua heal him? Yeah. Okay. How about the man who was at the gate beautiful? Peter, James, and Peter and John healed at the gate beautiful. He was daily set at the gate beautiful. Did Yahushua heal?
No.
If he sat daily at the gate beautiful, was Yahushua at the temple?
Yes.
Why wasn't he healed? He obviously didn't go. He did heal, or he didn't believe. Very simply. So you have to realize there were many people around who did not come to Christ. When Yahushua went to Decapolis and to help the man who had the legion, and he cast out the demons, the people came to him and said, come in and heal our people. What did they say?
Go away.
They said, go away.
They asked him to go away. Could he heal them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No.
Oh, no.
Because they told him to go away. Yeah. And guess what he did? He went away. Mm-hmm. So who's responsible for their sickness and illness?
They are.
Because the healer was there. They asked him to leave. So we've got to look at, here's our perspective. Okay, so Yahweh is not the cause. We know that the fall of mankind is the cause. But we know also there's a great hope of life, age, abiding in a new heaven and earth, which we read in Revelations 21 and 22. So, let's go to Galatians 1, 3. So here is the line we're going to be walking. Galatians 1:3, page 190. Favor unto you and peace from Yahweh our Father and the Lord Yahushua Mashiach, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might do what?
Deliver
us from what?
The present evil age.
Did Yahweh make it a present evil age?
No.
An evil age is a time period. So guess what? Oh, we've been notified we live in a what?
Evil age.
Evil age. Okay. Well, that should be depressing. Right? We should be sad. But then, here in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says something else. 5 verse 16. Anybody there? Page 211. These are very good things to memorize. Very short verse. Page 211. Verse 16. Evermore rejoice. Well, how can I evermore rejoice if I live in a present evil age? Shouldn't I be depressed? You know, shouldn't I be concerned about this evil age? Yes. But I'm supposed to evermore rejoice. What else? Next thing I'm supposed to do?
Unceasingly pray.
Unceasingly pray. And the third thing. In everything, give thanks in this present evil age. Well, that's the line we're walking. We're walking on a present evil age, but we're supposed to rejoice at the same time. But, and we're going to see, we're supposed to be doing something about the present evil age also. And we rejoice at the same time too. This is really great. This is the Hebrew text. So when it says evermore rejoice, this is a side note. What's the word that's being emphasized?
Rejoice. Evermore.
Rejoice.
No. Look at the brackets.
Oh.
Verse 17, what's the word being emphasized?
Unceasingly.
And verse 18, what's being emphasized?
Everything.
And everything. So in everybody else's Bible will say, rejoice evermore, and change the order and lose the emphasis. And they will say, pray unceasingly, and then they'll keep the last one, and everything give thanks. And so the emphasis is not rejoicing, and the emphasis is not on prayer. It's on evermore, unceasingly, in everything. Wow. Hmm. I mean, that is, okay. Isn't that neat how that's done? So that's our perspective. We wrestle against spiritual wickedness in Ephesians 6:10. But Paul, while he was in prison, was rejoicing all the time. Mm-hmm. So that's Philippians 1, 8. We won't go there, but Philippians 1, 18, 2, 17, 18, 3, 1. Let's do go to Philippians 4. And so you're like, okay, so this is like a balancing act. If you're being depressed by watching the news online, you're not doing the will of Yahweh. This says evermore rejoice. I need to be concerned and do something about it, but I rejoice as I'm doing something about it. Chapter 4, verse 4. Now here is the Apostle Paul in prison saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your consideration be known to all men, the Lord is near. Rejoice in Yahweh always. Again, I say rejoice. Mm-hmm. Wow. All right, you're in a present evil age. You're in darkness. You've got demonic spirits around you. But there's a time of rejoicing in all things. Not that those things are good. We're not celebrating the badness that's going on. But we are rejoicing and giving thanks all the things that are good. You know, it's got to be so depressing. I think we go one extreme to the other. And so you go to the Amish who try to withdraw from all society. Are they going to fight in the war?
No.
No. Should we fight in the war?
Yes.
Absolutely. All right? They're just going to go one extreme to say, we're just going to get holy over here. And on the contrary, you're not doing the Father's will, which means you're not holy. All right? Well, you go to the other extreme where everything is depressing. So if you watch Fox News or something, you're just wondering, oh, it's just terrible. I see how many people, the earth is, the Lord's coming back and it's just terrible. Are you ever more rejoicing? No, you're not ever more rejoicing. And so you've done the same thing that the Amish have. You're just so consumed on the wrong things, you're not looking at that line we're walking to say, okay, bad things over here, great things over here. Bad things over here, great things over here. I'm going to do things about the bad things. I'm going to correct the bad things as best as I can, and I'm going to rejoice because I'm seated in the heavenlies at the same time. And so when people look at me and say, what are you so happy about? What are you singing about? Because I'm seated in the heavens. I'm looking at a sun and a moon that my Father gave me. So I'm looking, I'm deciding to look at all the goodness. And how would you like that? You know, we have two lives, one now and one in the future. How would you like if you gave your children two lives and one was moping the whole time in his first life? Oh, Father, it so stinks here. It stinks here. Why do I even live here? It stinks. There's so much injustice. Don't you see this injustice? Don't you see this wickedness? You know, how could I rejoice? How could I rejoice? And all of a sudden, you've got somebody who doesn't sing or doesn't dance, doesn't laugh. And I mean, it's so depressing to say, that's not what I told you to do. You look at all the good stuff. All right. So we're going to be thankful for this earth, and we're thankful for the coming new earth. And that should put a leap in our steps. Abraham, and his name is really pronounced
Abraham.
Abraham. So Ab is
father.
Ab, father of the multitude. He's on. What's the lesson of Abraham? Do you remember?
Father.
What kind of land? How much land did he own?
None.
He owned one thing. What was it?
Grave of Sarah.
Yeah, the cave of Machpelah, and he was buried there. That's all he owned. All right. Interesting. He lived 175 years, and he was well satisfied. You would say he. What is his lesson? He lived a long time, so he was blessed. And on the negative side, people are going to say living a long life is depressing. No, he lived 175 years and was satisfied with his old age. What did he also do? He separated from the present evil world. He didn't live in the city. So he separated at that particular time. But what did he do that really kept him singing each day? That's Hebrews 11. He didn't live in a physical city, but he was looking toward a city. 11 verse 13 of Hebrews.
Did you say
Hebrews chapter 11 verse 13? I will read it. And I like how you read that last time. And so I think if we could all, I try to get in a hurry many times, but look at the emphasized words and emphasize them. Two ways you can emphasize. One is you pause before you hit the emphasized word, or the other way is you speak louder on the emphasized word and lesser on the other one. In faith, all these died, not bearing away the promise, but from afar, beholding and saluting them, and confessing that strangers and sojourners were they upon this land. We always have to realize that. That's who we are. We're sojourners. Now, this world is not our home. I'm just a passing through. As Abraham was a sojourner. 14. For they who such things as these are saying made it clear that of a parental home they are in quest. If indeed of that they had been mindful, let me start over. And if indeed of that they had been mindful from which they had come out, they might, in that case, have had an opportunity to return. But now, after a better one, are they reaching? That is a heavenly, where Yahweh is not ashamed of them to be invoked as their Elohim, for he hath prepared for them a city. So Abraham's city is the New Jerusalem. And that's what he was seeking, but he led a great life here. And here's just an example. He didn't withdraw and say, I'm out of this world like the Amish do. When Lot was under attack, what did he do?
Went to war.
Yeah, he went to war. If he did not go to war, what would have happened to Lot and his family?
Destroyed.
They would have been destroyed. All right? So if Yahweh's in control, now, that would have been terrible, but what he actually did is he let Abraham be in control, which he delivered. And that's what we're going to see where we're going. Our hope, and as what we're looking at, our lessons of Abraham is we're sojourners, we're looking for a heavenly city. We never just put all of our treasures in this world. And our hope is life, age, or body. We're going to have new bodies in 1 Corinthians 15 and in Philippians 3:20. We're going to have rewards, 2 Corinthians 5:10. We're going to be on the new earth in Revelations 22:3-5. Now we're going to look at Yahweh's limitations. Well, what is this? If Yahweh can heal somebody, why doesn't he heal my child? Why did he allow my child to be this? And so Yahweh's limitations are our disobedience and sin. So first and foremost, it's our fault. I mean, it can be. So when there was sin, there was no rain. When people are in disobedience, committing sodomy, you get AIDS, which are diseases. Right? The other problem that we have of Yahweh's limitation is unbelief. Like with Yahushua, the people who did not come to Yahushua did not receive healing. That's all understood. If they didn't come to Yahushua, that's called unbelief. Mm-hmm. You cannot do many mighty works because of their unbelief. What Yahweh is waiting on, and Yahushua is waiting on people to believe. Leaders to lead by faith. Moses, look what happened when Moses rose up. That's what Yahweh wants. He wants you, and everybody to rise up, because he can heal that child. He can deliver that demonic person. He can fight off bad nations, because he needs us, the people who he gave control in the first place, to rise up. And that was Moses, Joshua, Peter, Paul, Timothy. How about George Mueller? How George Mueller was raised up, he chose to believe Yahweh. And since he did that, people who had money had a place to give it. Mm-hmm. How many orphans would have died if he would not have done that? You know, I think he housed 3,000 orphans. And how many would have died a premature death? Because George Mueller didn't do what George Mueller did. How about Heidi Baker and Roland Baker going into Mozambique, Africa? Mm-hmm. They have these leaders, like Joshua and Moses, have transformed Mozambique. And they give it, the people who have money are just as responsible to give it into it. How about John Quincy Adams, who fought slavery all of his life? And it was finally extinguished in the United States after his death. But he was relentless on fighting slavery because he took a stand. And that's what Yahweh is looking at each one of us, because there are gifts. And there's some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, teachers. But there's also mighty works, gifts of healing. Everybody has a gift. And so Oral Roberts, because he took a stand and walked to an area, brought how much deliverance to how many people? Mm-hmm. If he did not do that, then Yahweh couldn't have worked through him. Mm-hmm. And so what's stopping Yahweh and Christ from doing all that they can do is us. Mm-hmm. Just not rising up where we're supposed to do. And here's just an example. Let's focus in on these, Aaron. I'll try to hold still. Here's our other great people. Lillian Thrasher, tell me when you're done, one by one. 1887 to 1961, went into Egypt alone, tremendous woman. Saved a lot of kids from being thrown into the Nile. William Booth, when you're ready. 1829 to 1912, started the Salvation Army. These are all tremendous books. Gladys Aylward, 1902 to 1970. Tremendous story going into, that was China. You know, China, just tremendous. What happens if she didn't do that? How many people would have never been affected? How about Mary Slessor, 1848, 1950? Hey, 4 out of 5 of these were women. She went into Africa, all right, transformed a continent because of what she did. Yahweh brings deliverance to us as vehicles. He would love to just wipe out everything. Well, he would, yeah. If he could do that, his son would never have a dog. Right. He could have said, "Oops, there's a pofaw on Adam and Eve's flock. No problem. We're just going to erase Adam and carry on." No, it didn't happen that way. Okay, let's see here. And look at men and women who got involved. How about David? Get involved. Sure. How about Nehemiah? Got involved. Got in the face of people. Esther, John G. Lake, Oral Roberts. And what this starts is a healing wave. Think of this. When somebody busts through, a healing wave starts happening. And deliverance starts, waves start rippling on. And then other generations like this get to see that and practice that. So you've got teaching by example, a new generation. If people will not prophesy, speak in tongues and interpret, there's no way you can go anywhere. These are baby steps, and that's in 1 Corinthians 14. Just do it. I mean, that's just the start of what people need. How about prayer life? How much time do people pray? Very important. So what is our responsibility? About on time. Good. No, we are not responsible for our parents rearing us. Some people have had terrible parents or no parents. It's not their fault. Some people have genetic disease, were born with them. Not their fault. Nothing that they did. They didn't cause that. The man born blind did not cause that. The man lame from birth in Acts 3 did not cause that. But Yahweh's heart is to have all people delivered. If people will rise up to deliver them. The country we were born in, that's not our responsibility. And so we're in a free country right now. There's other ones in a slave country. Or they could be in a communist country. But that does not block Yahweh from utilizing those people. And I think with more and more, they look more to the third heaven and third earth for the rewards. Because, you know, they are in a very hostile environment. What are we responsible for? But obeying the written word and the revelation. New information from Yahweh that comes down to us. To act. Just like George Mueller did. Just like all these people did. They engaged Yahweh. They really said, I want to get in the game. Mm-hmm. Every one of them said, I want to be a part of it. And so, you know, Izzy's a part of it. Sean's a part of it. Eliza's a part of it. These guys are a part of it. Aaron's a part of it. Oh, we're a part of it. And this is why we're in Africa. This is why we have Tellus Ministries trying. Now, we're not to the degree that we could be. But we have to say everybody should be getting involved. If you're not, how much are you giving financially? And if you're not giving financially, then you're not part of it. All right? Because every one of these organizations need money. And you can be just as responsible by giving money, a lot of money, and believe Yahweh to give more and more and more money.
Plus you get more and more money back the more you give.
That's right. And there's people who ministry is to make money. Mm-hmm. All right, they're not going to go to Africa, but they can make money to fuel the people who are going to Africa. So every one of these people were sponsored by people who gave money. Their ministers could not have effectively done without them. Okay, we have to exercise our faith by overcoming our fears. Let's see here. So what are we supposed to be doing? Rejoicing in the earth that we have. I used to always be looking at the new earth wherein dwells righteousness. No. That's not right. We're supposed to rejoice in this earth, and we're supposed to rejoice in the new earth to come. So one thing we have to realize, if you're born with, you know, we have a girl down the street with some kind of disease, and she's wheelchair bound, all knotted up. What a terrible situation. It's just a terrible situation. And that Yahweh thinks that also. That wasn't because of her. It wasn't because of her parents. Yeah, it wasn't because Yahweh wanted it. It's because it's a consequence of Adam and Eve's sin. And it could have been a consequence of her grandparents' sin. So maybe they did something that passed something on. Mm-hmm. So we never know. But ultimately, it's the Adam and Eve sin. So we have to look at that. If you're going to get mad at anybody, you get mad at Adam and Eve. Never Yahweh or Yahushua. Because her will is that she would not be of that. And but she has to look more and more than us. If she's not going to get that deliverance, it is for the new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. Because this earth, 70 years compared to billions, never ending years, is nothing. So I think Yahweh knows, hang on. You have no idea what's coming. You just have no concept. And it says, we have to go back to Acts or Romans 8, about the suffering of this present age. Verse 18. So for the people in extreme situations, we're so blessed in the United States. You know, we got air conditioning and heaters, and we got so many material things, and we got our health. You know, we're not in war, so, you know, we should be skipping every day of our life and singing and praising Yahweh. But regardless, if you're not, you're still supposed to be rejoicing. So look at all the things, whether it's the trees, the sun, the moon, the new earth. Verse 18, for I reckon that unworthy are the sufferings of the present season to be compared with the glory about to be revealed towards us. That's it. Okay. We've got to start focusing on that. How about Helen Keller, blind and deaf? Was she depressed? Go out and commit suicide? No, she pushed right through it. Look at verse 19. For the eager outlook of creation, this is Adam and Eve. This is the cataclysmic event that happened. For the eager outlook of creation ardently awaited the revealing of the sons of Yahweh. For unto vanity hath creation been made subject, not by choice, but by reason of him that made it subject, in hope that creation itself also shall be free. All of creation wants to be free. The animals want to be free from the parasites, the bugs, you know, the disease. Free from the bondage of the decay into the freedom of the glory of the sons of Yahweh. For we know that all creation is signed together in travailing and birth throes together until the present. So we get to say this. That's what I would tell our kids. This is not perfect. This is not paradise. It never will be. This earth is going to be thrown out. But there is a new earth that's coming. And this earth is great too. So we're going to look at that and celebrate it because this is going to be a continuation. Let's go to Philippians 3:20. Okay, just a couple of minutes over, but we'll finish up. Most of us give excuses that we're not going to be responsible, and so many pastors will say, "Well, healing without the apostles," because they don't want to be disappointed that when they minister to somebody, they didn't get healed, and maybe they had ministered to somebody, they didn't get healed, so they quit. And so, in order to cover themselves, well, healing must not be available. All right, let's look at it. Here's our hope, 3 verse 20. For our citizenship is in the heavens, hath its rise. Wherefore, a Savior also do we ardently await, the Lord Yahushua Christ. That's what Paul is doing in prison. Mm-hmm. Singing away. Who will transfigure our humbled body into conformity with his glorified body, according to the energy wherewith he is able even to subdue unto himself all things. Wonderful. One last verse, 1 Timothy 5:23. Well, Timothy didn't get healed. Timothy had problems. That must mean God doesn't heal anymore. We're all going to fall short. Some people have greater faith and all. But remember Mark 11:23, and it says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt his heart, but shall believe whatsoever he said, it shall come to pass. That's either a lie or the truth. And so you say that's not possible, you're telling the world is a lie. And then everything is up to us. It's our responsibility. Right. Very simply here. And so if it didn't come to pass, it's me. All right, very simply, because I know believing is impossible. I didn't get the results, so I didn't believe. And I'll take that responsibility.
Start over.
But one day I won't either, because I'll have that perfect body where I won't have to believe for healing. Mm-hmm. All right, so I got that too. But here's 23. Paul's writing to Timothy, chapter 5, 1 Timothy 5:23. No longer be a water drinker, but of a little wine make use, because of thy stomach and thy fervent sickness. Okay. Very simply here, Timothy had a problem. He didn't believe to that point either. You know, I got glasses. You know, I'm not going to believe to have my eyes healed. I don't think I even could. Maybe if I didn't have glasses, I'll wear glasses. And so there's many things that we end up doing. That's not Yahweh's fault. That's the fault of Adam and Eve. And so we deal with it. We know that there's apostles and prophets that have problems. Everybody's going to have problems. And Moses lived to be 120. And he had flesh. You know, his eyes were not dim and everything else. So he had a great, you know, so there's a standard. Anyway, you can be like Moses. You should be like Moses. And if you don't, that's fine. I'm not going to judge. And I can't get healed on a particular situation. It's not Yahweh's fault. It's not Yahweh not answering the prayers, because I don't believe. Right? But what do I believe? And let's point in on that. And let's get to work doing, becoming the instruments of our Father.
So if there's a problem with shipping and receiving,
yeah.
The Creator's the shipper and you're the receiver.
Yeah, that's right.
The problem's in receiving.
And he just wants to see action. He just wants to say, I've got it, folks. What?
Are we off?
No. We're going to pray. When he's got to go to the bathroom. Yeah. Okay, just kidding. I was just kidding. It was really Donna.
I do.
Okay, I'm going to have a prophecy for the people who are watching.
Having closing out.
To us. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We will not disappoint you. So our objective is never to disappoint you. So I know we have shot our sights many times very low, which is a shame on our part. So let's aim our sights higher and shoot for greater things like you want us to. And so we thank you for these words, and we thank you for these people. My sons and daughters, speak my word. Do not be afraid to speak forth my word. Some of you are timid, and you're afraid that people reject you. So what? They reject my son all the time. If you're a friend of everybody, you're not a friend of mine, because my son was polarizing. My son, and people are walking in my word, Moses was polarizing. People either hated him or loved him. So if everybody loves you, that's not a compliment. So you're not speaking my word. So speak forth my word, and the people who will love you, love me. And the people who hate you, hate me. Because if you're speaking my word, that's who you're representing. If they hate you, they hate my son, and they hate me. So go forth and be bold and courageous, and with a leap in your step, and rejoice that I have called you to be my sons and daughters. Amen.
Amen.
See you next Wednesday.